to see you. I don't know whether it's winter, summer, spring. Can anyone decide what season we're in? You know, it's just like 1 minute, it just seems to be changing from one day to the next. Well, wonderful to see you here on this wonderful morning and to be able to worship together and to be able to share from God's word. And if you've got your Bibles, we're going to continue our series on the devoted life in Acts chapter 2. God wants us to live a devoted life. A devoted life, a life devoted to his purpose. And you know, we only have so much time on planet Earth. And we need to make sure, don't we, that we're using the time that we have wisely for the purposes that God has for our lives. So now, I know you may find this hard to imagine, but in my younger years, my sister and I, we used to fight like cat and dog. Now, yeah, I know you're looking at me and you're thinking, Matthew, I can't believe you do that. Yes, we did, yes. There was only like, just over a year between us. And, so there was a lot of sibling rivalry. A number of times she got me into trouble, you know, the parents. And the number of times, now, you kids, you don't realize how easy you've got it. Because when I was young, I used to get a hiding if I did anything wrong. And the number of times I got a hiding for things that I did not do wrong. I mean, because, you know. But anyway, one of the things that I really, we struggle with in our sibling rivalry was learning to share things. And I remember at one Christmas, my parents got a computer for us. Okay? The computer was for us. But really, the computer was for me. Because my sister, bless her, Rachel, she did not see the light of day of that computer because I was on it all the time. It was a ZX Spectrum back in the 80s. And, you know, I was playing on it all the time. And bless her, she didn't see it. And she still complains about it to this day, how that computer was not for us. It was for you. And then, of course, there was the problem of, sharing the last piece of cake. Yeah, does anyone ever had that problem? You have to share the last piece of cake. And, you have to kind of cut it in a way. And so the way that it was resolved, the way this problem was resolved was one person cuts the cake and the other person chooses. I thought, that's a really good way of resolving, isn't it? Because when you cut that cake, you're going to make sure that is perfectly equally shared, aren't you? And the other person chooses. A mother was preparing pancakes for her sons, Kevin, who was 5, and Ryan was 3. And the boys began to argue who would get the first pancake. And so the mother, seeing a valuable opportunity to teach an important moral lesson, the mother said, you know what, boys? You know what? If Jesus was sitting here, he would say, let my brother choose first. I can wait. At which point, Kevin turned to his younger brother and said, Ryan, you be Jesus. Well, we can all agree, can't we, that it's good to share, isn't it? It's the good to share what we have with others. When we look at the world today, we see the problems in the world today. I would say that a good proportion of those problems come down to the fact that there's an unwillingness, isn't there, to share. You know, we think of all the tensions internationally in various parts of the world, and it seems still scandalous as far as I'm aware of. In the developed world, we still have these food mountains. And yet there's other parts of the world that are lacking food and short of supplies. But it's not just at an international national level. One way or another, God has blessed each of us, hasn't he? Yeah, if you think about it, I'm sure there's something you can realize that God has blessed me in. Okay, he's blessed us spiritually. He's blessed us with material resources. He's blessed us with our giftedness, our energy levels, our natural resourcefulness. God has blessed us in different ways. And he's blessed us so that we can be a blessing to others. Do you believe that? I believe that. God doesn't just bless you so you can keep it all to yourself. He blesses you so that you can share what God has blessed you with others. And you know what? There's no greater feeling in the world, I believe, than actually sharing. When actually you give something to someone and share them and bless them, no strings attached. It's a wonderful feeling to do that. And so So as well as removing that sense of possessiveness, and as well as our tendencies, and as well as killing those our selfish tendencies, sharing helps us also to live in the ministry that God is calling each of us into. So God wants us to share our lives to bless others. And this is actually the second vitality of a healthy church. Because remember last week we saw that one of the first vitalities of a healthy church is that we're growing deeper in discipleship. But the second vitality of a healthy church is that we devote ourselves to ministry. That ministry is the sharing of our gifts, our resource, our time, our energy, so that we can bless other people, so that we can help them in that point of need. So as we're looking at Acts 2:42 church, we notice that this church were devoted to a number of things. Last week, we saw that they were devoted to the apostles' teaching. But this week, we're going to look at something else that they were devoted to. So we read here in Acts 2:42 verses 45, it says this, that they, the believers, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. And all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Wow, I love that. I love us to become an Acts 2:42 church. They sold their possessions and gave to everyone in need. They grew broader through their ministry. See, something happened to this community that enabled them to share of their lives to others. And then earlier on in Acts chapter 2, they have an experience. Can anyone tell me what they experienced in Acts chapter 2? The Holy Spirit, yes. They had an experience of the Holy Spirit. And that shared experience of the Holy Spirit actually encouraged them to share their lives with others in a similar way that when we have a shared experience of the person and the work of the Holy Spirit among us, you know what? I believe that encourages us to share more of our lives with each other. You know, on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came, there were tongues, what appeared to be tongues of fire, weren't there, that spread out and dispersed on each of the heads of all the people there present that day. And in the same way that the tongues of fire were spread out and dispersed on each of the people, so in a similar way, I believe, God wants us to be prepared to disperse and share what God has given us to bless other people. And so as a church, I believe that God wants us to be a church that devotes itself to prayer. You notice they devoted themselves to prayer. Why is prayer so important? Because when we're praying together as a church, we are having communion with the Holy Spirit. We're having a shared experience with a person of the Holy Spirit, like these believers did. And in partnership with godly leadership, when there's that partnership with the Holy Spirit and with godly leadership, ministry can flow. Gifts can be released. How God has blessed this individual, we can start to see how we can share that to be a blessing into the lives of others. And so, God has blessed us. God wants us to have this experience of the Spirit in our times of prayer so that we can share what He has given us to bless others. So then how can we devote ourselves to ministry? How can we give our resource, our time, and our energy to meeting the needs that are around us? Well, the first thing I would say is this: be accepting of those who are different. That's important, isn't it? Be accepting of those who are different. I once heard a saying, no friendship, no function. I totally agree. No friendship, no function. Our function in our ministries that God has given us comes out of healthy, good relationships with other people and other believers. That ministry, that sharing of what God has given you, comes out of an acceptance of other people. You'll notice that in this community, that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, and to the breaking of bread. Now, this word fellowship, there's a famous Greek word called koinonia. Has anyone heard of it? Some people have, George has heard of it. Well, you know, it's one of the famous Greek buzzwords, koinonia, right? You know, if you want to just impress people with your knowledge, just say, do you know what koinonia means? And see what response you get. And really impress them. Anyway, koinonia means this, partnership, participation. That this was a church of koinonia. They were partnering with each other. They were participating with each other. They were, and often throughout the New Testament, it conveys the idea of sharing in the sufferings of Christ. That as a church, we share in Christ's sufferings. Or it can mean that we share of our resource to help the needy. And so this function, this sharing, comes out of friendship. And yet the first expression of this partnership is seen in the breaking of bread. You see, there was a participation in the body and in the blood of Jesus. There was this participation. And so your acceptance of others is marked by a common understanding of the shared life that we have in Christ. We all share of Christ. We are all linked to the person of Christ. And that is what gives us our koinonia, our fellowship with each other. Now, I know that this is no surprise. I do not need to be a prophet to say this. But guess what? We're all different. Yeah, we're different. Different political persuasions. Some people like to keep Sundays special. Some people don't like to keep Sundays special. Some people like to have a drink of wine. Others prefer not to drink wine. Some like to worship God quietly. Others like to worship God loudly. We all have our different ways of things. And when you think of it, the church, even think of the church globally, just as well as locally, the church is a melting pot of people who come from different cultures, ages, backgrounds, jobs, education. And guess what? We're all accepted by Christ. All accepted by Jesus. Isn't that amazing? So if that person who you're thinking of right now who is totally different from you in every way, it has sees the world completely different to the way you see it, you need to realize that you should accept them because they've been accepted by Christ. And you share the same Savior. You both belong to Jesus. Isn't that a wonderful truth? But the problem is, though, that sometimes, rather than seeing what unites us in Christ, we often focus on the petty issues that actually divide us. Recently, I came across a tweet by Nicky Gumbel, and he said this, that what unites the church is infinitely more important than what divides us. What unites us as a church is infinitely more important than what divides us. The Apostle Paul put it like this. He said, "Except one whose faith is weak without quarreling over disputable matters." Now, what does Paul mean when he says, "Except one whose faith is weak"? A person who is weak in their faith, what they do is that they major on the minors. They make a big deal over the issues that are not actually really that important. And Paul is saying, just try to work with these people. Try to accommodate and work with these type of people. So they, you know, for them, like, the clothes that you wear on a Sunday morning is a big issue. Can I say something to you? It's not really a big issue. It's not that of a big issue to fight over. What style of music you like? What style of music should we have in our time of worship or not? How loud should it be? How loud should it not be? These are disputable minor issues. And in response to this, Paul says, accept those whose faith is weak. In other words, keep perspective. Major on the majors. Now, what are the major things that we should major on? I'll tell you what they are. Righteousness. Righteousness. Living our lives in a way that brings glory to God. That's important. Righteousness. I'd say, what is another big issue? Peace. Peace. Walking in peace with God, walking in peace with others, having peace within ourselves. I tell you what is another big issue. Joy. Joy is important. You know, joy is something we should cherish and value more than anything else. And so Paul goes on to say then, he says this, therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in the way of your brother or sister. In other words, Paul's saying, be accommodating to the perspectives, the idiosyncrasies, the tastes of others without compromising those things that really do matter. Refuse to label someone because they're different from you and act in a way that respects where they're coming from. And even when the differences can be so acute, like I just know that some people just have personalities that are so in opposite directions that it's almost impossible for them not to clash, okay? Or for sparks not to fly in any way. But even in those situations, Paul says this, let us make every effort, or let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and mutual edification. Amen. You see, when we experience the Holy Spirit as a church, when we have a shared experience of the Spirit, we are more willing to share what God has given us to bless others. And that requires us to be more accepting of those who are different from us. You know, in 1956, a missionary by the name of Jim Elliot went to Ecuador in South America to reach out to the, I think it was called the Akua tribe, in the rainforest. And in so doing so, and reaching out to this tribe, him and four of the guys he was with were speared to death by this tribe. Okay? His wife, Elizabeth Elliot, continued to stay behind in the jungle with her 10-month-old daughter. And she continued to reach out to that tribe. And actually, in time, she led to Christ the very same men who speared her husband to death. I don't know about you, but I think that's acceptance, isn't it? Talk about keeping perspective on the main issues. I was recently listening to a podcast by a guy called Rabbi Zacharias. He's a well-known Christian speaker. He speaks a lot of university campuses across the world. But he was telling the story how as a young man, he met up with a guy in Cambodia, and he was a missionary there. And he was saying that this is back in the kind of the 70s. And this guy said, you know what, Rabbi, I'm working out amongst these people. And you know what, they're going to get me. He says, why? What do you mean? He says, you know, I'm just telling you now, people are coming to faith in Christ. Things are happening. But these guys are going to get me. Years later, Rabbi Zacharias says he was working in a college in the States. And he received a report that his friend was murdered. He walked out of a prayer meeting one day and some guy just pointed a gun at him, just fired 7 rounds into him, immediately killed. But what's incredible is this. Years later, the daughter of this man was also working as a missionary in another part of the world. And over time, she met a woman who had come to faith in Christ. And guess what? This woman happened to be the husband of the man who murdered her dad. That's the power of acceptance, isn't it? That's the power of this gospel. Friends, let's make sure that we keep perspective in what God has called us to do. Jesus has accepted us. Shouldn't we also accept others without passing judgment? So to devote yourself to your ministry, accept those who are different. Secondly, be aware of the needs around you. Given that your ministry, the sharing of what God has given you, flows out of relationships, be aware of the needs that God, of the people that God has put around you. Again, we read here in Acts 2:44, it says this, that all the believers were together and had everything in common. Their experience of the Spirit brought them together. Now, I find it hard to imagine that With their common experience of the Holy Spirit, with their common faith, that they over time weren't aware of the needs within their community. I can imagine over time they became acutely aware of the various issues that were surfacing. And over time, as you read the book of Acts, you'll notice that they started to address some of the needs. They noticed that in those days, they didn't have, you know, social security, you know. So what they did, they set up a common welfare system. They started to look after the widows in the community. They started to reach out to the poor. They weren't just thinking about their own needs, but also the needs of the wider community. And I believe that if you are to devote yourself to your ministry that God has for you, it is essential that you ask God, Lord, open my eyes to the needs that are around me, both within the church and outside of the church. You remember, some of you will remember, back in the early 90s when communism fell in Eastern Europe, and you remember those images in countries like Bulgaria and those parts of the world where the state-run orphanages came to the fore. And I don't know about you, but it was incredibly harrowing and disturbing to see these young lives who were totally isolated for any form of human contact and love. And there were many believers in this country who were so moved by what they saw, they said, we're going to do something about it. And we're actually going to reach out into these countries. About 5 years ago, I went to Moldova, and I was doing some work with some church leaders there. And while I was there, I came across a charity called Stella's Voice. And basically, the reason this charity was set up was that they noticed that when these young people are in these orphanages, when they are of a certain age, I think it was about 14 or 15, they're basically kicked out. Basically kicked out onto the streets to fend for themselves. They have no family, nothing like that. This is what happens. The result is they end up being exploited and taken advantage of by traffickers. And sadly, many of them were sold into the sex trade. And there was one such young girl by the name of Stella who was exploited, sold, and eventually died of AIDS. And she was 19 years of age. And so the result of that was this. A group of Christians got together and said, hey, you know what? This can't be right. Let's do something. You know, they had a vision. Let's raise funds. Let's build girls' homes in Moldova. So when these girls are leaving the orphanages, they have somewhere they can go to where they can call home. They can have a secure environment. They can get an education. They get the resources that they need to learn to build their life. And rather than seeing themselves as I am just an orphan, I am someone who is worthy of being loved. Instead of being a child trafficking statistic, these children are loved and given a chance to live a victorious life. Isn't that what it's all about, friends? Being aware of the needs around us. The Apostle Paul said this. In his letter to the church of Philippi, he said this, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, looking not only to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Being other-minded, it's not about thinking less of yourself. It's about thinking of yourself less. Being aware of what is going around you. I know for myself, I often have to make a point of focusing on the needs of others before myself. Because I know my tendencies. I know how it's easy for me just to get self-absorbed. I always make a point when I'm praying, I pray for others before I pray for myself. Because I want to be outward focused and being aware of the needs around me. The writer of Hebrews puts it like this, and he says this, continue. Come on the screen in a minute. It says to continue. Here we go. Is it going to come? Oh, dear. Let me read it to you. That's why I need to send these slides to Damien and make sure he checks them before I put them on the screen. But this is what it says. Writer of Hebrews says, continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. In other words, identify yourself with what others are going through. I think the best thing for us to do, you know, is sometimes just to go to another part of the world and see how other people live. It's one of the best educations that we could have. When I was in Philippines, I remember myself and my dad, we visited some men in a prison. The cell was probably no bigger than this platform, okay? But inside it, there are about 30 or 40 men crammed into one cell, one tiny toilet, and they all had to sleep on the floor. And some of them were in there because they stole a loaf of bread because they were hungry the other week. Someone were there, hadn't even been charged or were awaiting court proceedings. Talk about a travesty of justice. And so when you see those things, immediately something stirs in our hearts. So this experience of the Spirit in your life results from us being more likely to share our lives with others by being more aware of what is around us. I pray that God will stir your heart for something, be it inside or outside of the church, that God is leading you into. I believe that God wants to do that for each of us. So devote yourself to your ministry. Accept those who are different. Be aware of the needs around you. But thirdly, be spontaneous steward of your resource and time. In response to the needs that they identified around them, we read in Acts 2:45 that they sold property and possessions to give to everyone in need. What is fascinating about this is that these believers didn't see their possessions as their own, but everything that they had as belonging to the Lord. And I believe as Spirit-filled believers, if God has blessed us, we should be willing to alleviate the suffering of those who are less fortunate. Now, that does not necessarily mean you're going to sell all your possessions and give to the poor, like Jesus asked the rich young ruler to do, okay? I wouldn't expect personally anyone to be doing that, okay? But it does mean that you voluntarily find ways where you can give of your resource and time to help those who are in need. All that I have belongs to Jesus. That's where it starts. All that I have belongs to Jesus, and therefore I'm responsible to use that in a way as He directs me and as He leads me. The Lord's brother James puts it like this. What good is it, my brothers, he says. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, and does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. It's dead, isn't it? This experience of the Spirit in our lives that enables us to share more of what we have of others, the experience of this means that we need to be open to the promptings and the leadings of the Spirit. Can I encourage you to do that? When you go about your day-to-day business, walking into town, Holy Spirit, just help me to be open to anything that you want me to do to bless someone else this day. You know, when you're at a restaurant or having something to eat or coming out, just look around the room. Lord, is anyone you want me to bless today? Just have that attitude, that spirit in you that says, I want to be open to spontaneous acts of generosity. Spontaneous acts of just sharing something of God's love and life to all those, to people who I come in contact with on a daily basis. The theologian Chrysostom said, when speaking of this church, this was an angelic commonwealth, not to call anything theirs their own. Forthwith, the root of evil was cut out. You know what the root of evil is? The love of money. When we're in that posture of saying, Lord, everything that I have is yours, and I'm willing to give what you want me to give, immediately we're killing the root of evil in our lives. There was none reproach, none envied, none grudged, no pride, no contempt was there. The poor man knew no shame, the rich man no haughtiness. If God has blessed you with natural talent and resourcefulness, if He's blessed you materially or spiritually,
ask God, Lord, show me, how can I be a steward of this for your glory and for your purpose? You know, I am very privileged to be part of a church where there are generous people. Can I just say that? Can I say that you are a generous church? And I'm very honored by that. People have given themselves of their time, their energy, and resource. And, you know, over the years, I've been honored to meet various people who have been generous spontaneously in their giving to help those in need. And it's inspired me also to do the same. The Lord's brother James said it like this. He said, if any one of you, he said, then knows the good that they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is for them a sin. So sin isn't just about the wrong things that we do. Sometimes the sin is about the good things that we don't do. And so I'm going to encourage you, ask God, Lord, open my eyes. Open my eyes to the needs around me. Be sensitive to the promptings of the Spirit, and maybe God will prompt you to do something, to get a little bit out of your comfort zone, to share something of your resource, to be a blessing to other people around you. And so in the light of this experience of the Spirit that increases our likelihood to share our lives, let me encourage us to devote ourselves to ministry. Let's ensure that we are accepting of those who are different. Remember, without friendship, there's no function. Be aware of the needs around us. Ask God to give you his eyes, but also be spontaneous in the use of your resource and time. All that I have is his. Let's share that. You know, the sharing of our lives is in response to the fact that Jesus shared his life for us when he went to the cross. During the Last Supper, when Jesus was taking the cup, He gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among you, he said. And then when he was taken to the cross, the soldiers also divided up his clothes by casting lots. And in the same way, as the wine of the communion cup was shared out amongst his followers, so also when his blood was given, it was shed out for each of us, for the forgiveness of sins. As the garments of Jesus were shared out among the soldiers, so the garments of Jesus' righteousness have been shed out among us, hasn't it? To cover all those things in our lives that we feel ashamed of, that, you know, that just we wouldn't want anyone else to know. So on the cross of Christ, Jesus' life and his right standing relationship with God has been shared out to each of us so that we could all have forgiveness of sins and so that we could all stand before God in a right relationship with him. And to get that share of his forgiveness and righteousness in our lives, we need to agree with God about his verdict in our life. We need to say, okay, God, I agree with you. That's wrong. Okay, I need to put that right. I turn my back away from that, and I put my trust in you. And in doing so, you experience the fullness of his grace. In a world that takes, Jesus gives. Maybe as a child, you had something taken from you. Maybe it was your innocence, a loved one, or your dignity. But you know what? Jesus came to restore your innocence. He came to infuse his love. He came to give his dignity. He gave and shared of himself for you on that cross. Isn't that wonderful? That's what the gospel is all about. And I believe that once you experience that goodness, that love of Christ, you can also share that love with other people that you come in contact with. And so I pray that us as a church, that we will be a church that is a sharing church. And I've said this before, I'm humbled to be part of a church of people who've given of themselves and the resource over the years. But let me encourage you, let's not become weary in doing good. Let's continue to share our lives. Let's continue to be a church that shares into this community and to be a blessing to people around us. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you today that God, that you so loved the world that you gave your only son. Thank you, Lord, that on that cross, Jesus shed his life for us. He gave of his blood, Lord. His garments were divided. And in the same way that we can receive the forgiveness of sins in his name and know that our lives are covered and clothed in your righteousness, Lord. Lord, I ask that, Lord, as we reflect in that, the Lord, that you will help us to grow in that shared experience of the Holy Spirit. And in doing so, Lord, that we will increasingly become more accepting of each other, Lord, more aware of the needs around us, and more spontaneous in the use of our resource and time to be a blessing to others. Grow us in each of these areas, Lord. Help us to know you more, in Jesus' name.